Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I understand this league changes and there's so many things that go into it and we're not going to play forever.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Question is the Warriors franchise as we know it and have come to know it in a resting home?
You know, you don't get to stay on top forever.
Earlier on the show, host of the Straight Line podcast, Ryan Leaf, ESPN senior NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler. Coming up, Michigan defensive lineman Chris Jenkins Jr. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, we've been talking about a lot from the NFL draft all the way through to the fact that one of our friends and colleagues here at the Rich Eisen Show brought in cookies that I don't believe he baked, but put them in a Tupperware to make it look like he did. And whether it's intentional or not, we're all over it. And lots to discuss here in hour number three. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, don't worry. We re-air on the Roku channel, channel 210. For those listening, we have our podcast all 3 hours every single day through the Cumulus Podcast Network. As soon as we are done, Susie Schuster and Amy Trask will record the latest edition of What the Football. Daniel Jeremiah, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, the best in the business at talking about the National Football League draft and covering it, and then obviously administering it on NFL Network. He will be their guest. And so stay tuned and look for that later on today. Daniel and I will be in Detroit next week for NFL Network's draft coverage. This show will be in Detroit all week next week as well, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so if you're on hold, stay on hold at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. Joe Shane, the general manager of the Giants, has spoken. Lots to talk about that. But joining us right now, zooming in, is one of the top defensive prospects in all the land. I saw pretty much every damn near snap he had at the University of Michigan, and he is a GAM, G-A-M, grown-ass man. Chris Jenkins Jr. joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Chris? Good to see you, sir.
Great to see you, too. I appreciate you having me.
Oh, my gosh. You have no idea. Seriously. Seriously, sir, congratulations on your run at Michigan, and thank you for it.
Absolutely not. Thank you.
So how'd you get there? How'd you get to the campus of the University of Michigan, Chris? Who knocked on your door back in the day to go to Michigan?
Well, shoot, back in the day, that was back in the day when we had Don Brown, Coach Brown, and we had Coach Neuer. You know, they scouted me out early. They'd seen me early, I want to say late in my junior year, and got a chance to go up there, meet Coach Harbaugh, meet Coach Hurd. And, you know, that was all I needed to see, you know, wanted to be a Michigan man. So, you know, it was amazing from there. But
what's your favorite Jim Harbaugh story that you can share, Chris? What's your favorite one?
I don't got a specific story, but this is almost like an everyday occurrence where it doesn't matter if we're doing a 6 a.m. workout, we could be doing practice, we could be doing post-practice conditioning sprints, and he will be joining us in the full fit, the khakis, you know, the cap on, the shades, the polo, and he's getting in work. He's putting in work with Coach Hurd, like lifting heavy. And, you know, we were always geeked up to see that and hyped him up, but he'd do med ball carries with us, and, you know, he's just a huge weight room guy, and it doesn't matter what fit he's in, he's going to get that work.
Well, when did things turn? When did things turn for the better for the championship years, Chris? You got a time when you were there when you're like, okay, this is different. We're going to start winning, and we're going to start dominating, and we're going to win championships here. When did that happen?
Absolutely. I want to say coming off that COVID season, Coach Harbaugh shot us all an email as a team to all the team players, staff, coaches, and just telling us basically that something needed to change and that everybody, pretty much everybody in the organization needed to buy in 100%, you know, to accomplish the goals and the dreams that we had. So that was the earliest introduction to it. And when we met as a team, as a full unit, you know, we talked about that in person, how we needed to change it. And then we had leaders like Aiden Hutchinson, Josh Ross, Cade at the time, and like everybody buying in, helping get us young guys to buy in as well. And that's when the magic really happened.
Yeah, and then let's talk about this year in particular. If I'm not mistaken, at least, you know, you were the first one to show up on my social media feed after Jim Harbaugh was suspended by the Big Ten on the flight to Penn State. You were the first one that I saw that posted the word bet, Chris. And there it is right there.
Yes, sir.
Walk me through how this came about with you and your teammates.
Absolutely. Well, for us, you know, we didn't find out till the second the plane touched down, because when everything went down, we were still on the flight to Penn State. So the second you hear us land, you hear all the dings go off, the ringing, you know, everything's out of control. Everybody's trying to figure out, okay, what's going on? So we're getting into the hotel and all, of course, all the teams, all the media is talking about the situation going down, you know, and how they expect Michigan to get absolutely torn up by Penn State. You know, as the players, we're watching this, you know, me and my guys are in the room. You know, we're like, all right, bet. You think we got no shot? We got no chance in the world? All right, we're going to show you what it is, bet. And that's kind of how it really sparked, you know, tweeted that out. And then every single guy, you know, on that team was on the same page. So everybody else tweeted bet in response. And that's how we kind of knew, oh, yeah, it was going to go down.
Yeah, exactly. And so it wasn't like a team meeting, hey, let's all tweet this out together. It just happened like that?
No, it just happened. And that just goes to show you, you know, really how magical that team was. Cause like, you know, we were all on the same page with that. Like we didn't need to have a meeting for it. You know, once one person saw it, everybody else was standing with each other. And, you know, it was amazing to see.
And then let's snap cut to the Rose Bowl, overtime in the Rose Bowl, and Milroe and the Alabama Crimson Tide have one more snap to keep this thing going. And if they don't, Michigan goes to the national championship game. Walk me through that moment in the huddle and then what happened and whether you were surprised that it happened the way that it did, Chris Jenkins.
No, absolutely. Well, in the huddle, you know, we're getting ready because this is it. This is that play. And we had two plays called based off their formations, based on what we were going to see. But based on the depth we have and the guys across the board, we knew that if they were going to try to run the ball, and we were 99% sure they were going to try and get that ball to Milroe themselves, that we were going to stop them and stuff up their offensive line. So, you know, really watching it, having all the goosebumps going, you really knew that our guys were going to dominate and get the job done. And, you know, once that happened, you know, it was kudos from there, celebrating. It was cookies.
Did you think at any moment that they'd actually run in your direction, like right in the middle, like actually go in the teeth here, Chris?
Oh, absolutely.
You did?
Absolutely. We knew they were going to try and get it to their playmaker, and their playmaker, their best player on the field was Milroe. So we knew if they're going to try and make some magic happen, they're going to try and get him the ball. And that's how you see the big boys, especially Josiah, especially KG, really just stuffing it up, clogging up the hole, and they had nowhere to run. So it was, like I said, it was ball game.
And what does it mean to be this national champion that you guys are based on the season, Chris?
Oh, it means everything. We were talking about it as a team. That night when the confetti was falling down, every single piece of confetti, you know, represented a moment, you know, all the hard work we put into that moment, whether it was a 6 a.m. practice, you know, whether it was a workout, conditioning, extra conditioning, you know, all those moments for the past 3 years that we worked so hard to accomplish and to get, you know, that's where that moment really paid off. And there was nothing more magical than that night. And I don't know if I'll really feel a type of moment like that again. It was just too perfect.
Well, I mean, you got next level stuff, Chris. We'll get to that in a second. Did you know, as you were going through all this, that Harbaugh was going to leave and JJ was going to head to the pros, and that this was kind of the last run for you and everyone? Did you pretty much figure that? You know that?
Well, we kind of had a rough idea. Like everybody kind of, you know, figured like this is the perfect way to really just end it. Like if you're going to cap it, you definitely got to cap it right here. So. The guys weren't, you know, I wouldn't say we were too surprised about it, but, you know, definitely looking forward to what they're going to do on the next level because they deserve it, and I'm excited for it.
Chris Jenkins here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's your first football memory with your dad being an NFL legacy of note, Chris? What's your first memory?
Ooh, football. So my first memory is a game where he was on the Panthers, my uncle was on the Packers, and they had played each other. So the whole fam was there, me, my cousins. My mom, their mom, and we got to get down on the field after the game. And my dad wasn't too happy about it because they had lost. But still got on the field, got to see the Giants, the whole stadium, everything, and it was amazing to see. And that's when I knew right then and there really that I wanted to be on that level. I wanted to be that type of player.
How old were you?
I want to say I was like six, huh, or seven. It was. I want to say it was in 2006. So I was like five or six. I was young.
Yeah. And that's that's a first football memory. Now, here you are on the precipice of hearing your name called at an NFL draft, and not at any NFL draft, but in Detroit, in the state of Michigan. Who have you had your personal visits with, Chris?
Well, a couple of teams. Went on, I want to say, about three or four 30-day visits. Been fortunate enough to see the Bengals, fortunate enough to meet with the Chargers, the Lions, the Dolphins. So, like I've been hearing, like I've been saying, don't know what's going to happen, but whatever happens, happens. And I'm just fortunate enough to, be able to see these teams and be a part of this process.
So Harbaugh had you in, huh? Little reunion.
Yes, sir. Big reunion.
Okay. And then Detroit. Did you see Hutch there? Did you see Aiden when you were there?
Oh no, I didn't see Hutch while we were there, but he was definitely he was definitely getting that work in, getting his off season training in. So no, hopefully or eventually I'll see him.
Okay. But, what would a team get if they draft Chris Jenkins Jr.?
You're gonna get everything out of me, point blank. Like I'm gonna do everything in my power to be the best player, to be the best teammate, to be the best athlete I could be. From a discipline standpoint, adapting to whatever we face. Especially how we did last year, and really just being a gritty type of player. Like I said, whatever the team needs to win, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to give it a second thought, because I just love the game of football, and I love the guys. I love being a part of this, process.
So where are you going to be draft night? What's your draft night plans, Chris?
Oh, yeah, so draft night, I'm going to be with the family. I'm going to be with the family in Belleville, about like 10, 20 minutes from Detroit. And it's nothing too major. We're about to be, getting the wings, doing a bunch of barbecue, getting a bunch of food on. And the biggest thing is, we're a football family, so you can't have football. You can't have wings without football, and you can't have wings without Bounty. So.
Okay. Look at you. Oh, my gosh. What are you doing with PNG and Meyer for the NFL draft, Chris?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to be able to partner with PNG and Meyer in the next step of my career, new career, mm-hmm. new faces, new team, new city. And, being able to partner with PNG and Meyer, they're going to keep me ready for anything.
Okay.
So just excited to whatever I need, anything. Excited to.
And I already heard you work in the bounty mention for your. It's not your first rodeo. You're a Michigan man. You've got it on the ball. Right? So
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Loyal Michigan man.
I know that. Oh, my gosh. You want to chime in? I asked Sandra Still this yesterday. You want to chime in on the conversation that J.J. McCarthy might not be top five worthy, top 10 worthy, elite quarterback worthy, because he did not have a lot placed on his arm in a way that a top quarterback would? I already see your facial expression. You want to add words to it? Go for it.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, whoever's saying it, I don't know who's saying that, but respectfully, they're tripping. Because he's obviously 100% a top five quarterback. I'll say it. Anybody would say it, especially anybody that's been on Michigan. Like, he's a top five quarterback just from his leadership, his character, his athleticism. He could do anything. You could do anything you ask him to do and more. And he'll go above and beyond to do that. So he's just that guy. He's him. To be honest with you. So. Yeah. He's going to be top five.
Well, I think so too. And the interesting thing enough would be that if he does go top five, that means Jim Harbaugh would wind up having the first overall pick of the draft, not for a quarterback. If he does, that would actually be kind of wild. And so we'll see. But that's for a guy who had you in for a top 30. And I can't thank you enough for what you did in your time on campus, in the way that you conducted yourself and winning it all. You made my world, man, on behalf of all Michigan. Seriously, I'm not going to lie. I mean, this past year was truly, it was a journey for being a fan, yeah, since having no control over it. But to see your response and leadership and then going on the run that you did, never forget it. So thanks, Chris.
Nah, my pleasure. Hey, like we've been saying, it's Michigan versus everybody. And, you know, not just the team, but all the fans combined. You know, we weren't going to be able to do this without your love and support. So, like, real deal. Thank you. Thank you, too. It paid off for all of us.
I appreciate that. And look for my call when you get drafted. Love to keep following your career. Thanks again.
Oh, will do. Will do. Absolutely.
You got it. That's Chris Jenkins Jr. here on the Rich Eisen Show. Getting ready to hear his name called on draft night here on the Rich Eisen Show. There's Chris Jenkins heading off on his day.
Man, if you knew nothing about him beforehand, this kid just won you over with this interview.
Do you like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Seems like a good kid.
Oh, man. Yes. And one of his highly talented teammates, Mr. Graham, is still standing there on the campus of Michigan right there in the middle of the line. But that's for another day. Did you see Fox? Hey, are you part of that broadcast on Saturday, Mike? Do you even know it?
He
doesn't even know it. You know what I'm referring to?
He's giving you a weird look.
Which means he doesn't know.
He doesn't know. He'll come up in the reason why.
You know what's on Fox?
He's gonna, after you tell him, he's going to pretend to know and that he couldn't say anything about it.
You know what it is, right?
No.
It's the Michigan spring game.
Oh, the Ohio State spring game was last week. I
what does that mean? What does that mean? Why would you even bring that up?
I'm just saying.
Why would you bring up the spring game of the team that didn't win the last three Big Ten championships?
I mean, they're doing spring games. I get it. I'm doing UFL on Saturday.
Got it.
But I also have something with it. Saturday's actually, to me, it's like I would love to go and do one of those games.
Well, you can if you want.
But I get UFL.
Because tomorrow you're not here, right?
No.
Because you got to set up.
Rich.
What, Mike?
You have. I love
what?
It.
What? Okay. You got to set up.
You guys bring a computer. Well,
don't you guys.
No, that's right. I shouldn't
don't
be you guys.
Don't you guys, Mike. I got your back. What you're doing is important. Okay? You're a leader. And all of your colleagues at Fox should be grateful. They honestly should wake up each morning. Man, I'm so glad Mike is here today because without him, we couldn't do any of this.
What's more BS? Okay? RJ made the cookies or Brockman, what he just said to me?
RJ has not proclaimed to make the cookies.
Okay. So I think you have your
RJ
answer.
Has just made it seem. Back. RJ has just made it seem like he made the cookies, and that might not be intentional. His BS is fully intentional.
Mike, everyone at Fox, honestly.
He, like all of us, don't understand.
You should have a day.
Process. We're not fully aware of it.
There is a video that's going to be made by an esteemed USC student about exactly what I do because he's making a documentary on it. And when that comes out, you will actually see what this human does. Me?
Do you think The Rock knows that
he has no idea
of how important your role is here?
He's walked in the booth.
So what I'm just wondering the thing we don't get is that what week is this of UFL? Week three?
Four.
Okay, so week four's setup, is that more intricate or less intricate than the last 3 weeks of setup?
I have two games, one Saturday and one Sunday,
okay,
in two different locations.
I got it.
With two different crews on location.
So the way it is for me is there's got to be, the way I look at it, there's got to be a plug in the wall, right? And then just take, and it's just a top socket and a lower socket.
No.
Saturday's the top socket. And you just take it out, and for Sunday you plug it in the lower socket.
No. Not a telephone.
Just got to figure.
Here's what I'm
gonna do. So intricate.
I'm gonna make you guys
that
come.
It's different. No, we don't want you. We have to do this show.
No. On a day when you're not, I'm gonna friend to work day.
So you want me on my off day to come to work with you?
He's actually watched me do. I've had him live on FaceTime.
It's not the question about how you administer in-game execution of your job. Yes, what requires you to not be here for an entire show day.
Because why can't I be here for the
I'm in at 4 a.m. It's
tomorrow? You're in at 4 a.m.
Yes.
tomorrow? At Fox?
Early, yes.
I'm going to call you at 4 a.m. tomorrow.
No, I won't answer your
call. Do you want to answer your call? You know what? Dead asleep for the next 3 hours.
No.
He's still in bed.
I am saying this. You guys have
4 a.m. Hawaii time.
Here
in Los Angeles.
I'm calling you.
That's all right. Okay, let's take a break. 844-204 Rich, number to dial. When we come back, the latest on what the Giants' plans are for the draft and your phone calls.
Who was right?
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O O O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. We all know quality sleep is essential. I'm just not myself when I don't get a good night's sleep. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. For instance, my side of the bed, my Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's side of the bed, her Sleep Number setting is 70. Two different numbers, same bed, but we get the same great sleep. So make sure you get your Sleep Number bed right now because you will absolutely love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you can save up to $800 on select Sleep Number smart beds for a limited time. That's right, $800. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Check it out. Sleep Number. You won't regret it. Back here on the show, we don't normally talk politics here, but I saw this article in the commercial break. I have to bring it up here because I think it's right up your guys' alley. Oh. This is the only way you want to talk about politics on
okay,
this show.
What do we got?
You know, the Speaker of the House is in danger of potentially losing his gig based on stuff that's happening there.
Of course.
And it's the calls are coming potentially from within the figurative House for
yes,
him.
I've seen this.
Right? That conservatives in the House Freedom Caucus are signing up to take shifts to monitor the chamber floor in order to prevent their own party leaders from making unilateral moves that could curb their power. This is an Axios right now. I'm not making this up. And I'm not setting this up to make it a joke here. This is for real. The Freedom Caucus's unit team that's going to take turns on the floor is being referred to by them as the Floor Action Response Team. Do you want to sound out what that an acronym is? Floor Action Response Team. It literally is shorthanded as FART.
Oh, so that's why FART is trending.
That is why FART is trending.
Okay, I didn't click on it yet because, like, you know.
Oh, I saw it trending and I clicked on it.
Okay, can they just add an S? Click.
I saw
to
FART
that?
Trending.
Can they just add an S?
Did somebody not?
That's they just
had
the S.
Did somebody
it has to be on purpose?
Not
I don't
did you
think
see
so.
That? Nobody
I don't
quality
so.
Controlled
these
that.
It has to be on purpose.
They're calling it the Freedom Caucus's Floor Action Response Team.
You're giving them way too much credit.
Oh
my God!
Oh no! 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 No!
Oh my goodness gracious! Anyway, that's our political update here.
We need a drop for that.
No, we don't. I mean,
that is why FART.
I just wanted to add an S.
Then he started doodling.
So it's multiple.
You know what? That response team is known as Silent.
But deadly. Okay. Oh, I'm here all week.
I didn't want to finish it, but back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk for Rich Granger. Wow. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Granger has the right product for you. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. All right, phone calls. Some of our listeners and viewers hanging on for a particularly long time, especially Garrett in Brick, New Jersey. Where is Brick, New Jersey?
Central, right near
Garrett,
Tom's River.
Where is Brick, New Jersey?
Well, how dare you call it Central, Mr. Jersey Boy? There's only a North and a South. Everybody knows this.
Okay.
Central.
So where is it? Where is it?
I am 15 minutes away from Point Pleasant, right down by the shore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jenks.
Well, good to have you back on the show, Garrett.
Jenks, you know the place.
I used to DJ there.
Hi. It's a good place for it. It's a good strip now. It's better than it used to be. I have two quick things for all you gorgeous creatures in that studio, if you have a moment.
Thank you. What's up?
One, just for my own personal enjoyment. Who do you think has embarrassed the states of New York and New Jersey more in the past decade? The New York Giants or the New York Jets?
Okay. And what's your other one? Great. We'll see which one we take first. Which one? What's your other one, Garrett? Well,
the other one is a serious matter. So if you want to handle my little joke first.
Well, I wish it was a joke. I wish it was funny.
You and me both, brother.
I will unfortunately go with the Jets, Garrett, since they haven't made the playoffs in the last 10 years. So there's that. The Giants have actually won a playoff game, and they're only a season removed from it. So I'll go with that.
What's worse, butt fumble or QB sneak on a 3rd and 9 from your own end zone?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was the defeat formation, right? Like that.
That was
Joe Judge's.
The Giants fans in the stands going, what are we doing?
That was the finish of Joe Judge.
A slightly more important thing.
Yes.
I've noticed recently that for some reason Chicago has gone from a place that Justin Fields could never win to a place that is a perfect landing spot for Caleb Williams. I'm just wondering, when do you think that change happened? Because it caught me totally by surprise.
Well, the reason why, you know, that's switched up, to be honest with you, is because, I guess, number one, the arrival of Keenan Allen certainly helps in terms of the recency bias. And two, I just think the Bears are just going to reset the clock and start from scratch. And that gives just a general rebirth and a sense of a breath of fresh air and allows, fans to be maybe a little bit more Pollyannish than any other way. And thanks for the call, Garrett. Appreciate it. And calling us gorgeous creatures.
I like that.
You know, I get his point where he's just like, okay, this thing's not working out with Justin Fields, but now we're a playoff team. As Ryan Leaf referred to the Bears earlier on in hour number one, as a playoff team.
With the same kind of player.
Well, it's not the same kind of player. It's
mobile quarterback, a runaround.
Right,
around,
but one with about 40 career starts fewer. You know?
Yeah.
It's just rebirth and just a different way. And we're just assuming Caleb Williams is more talented than Justin Fields. Although, what was it? Was that game against Georgia?
In the playoff?
Right.
Oh, man. Fields
where, it, where Fields
best player on the field.
Fields threw every throw on the route tree.
It was incredible.
For touchdowns.
They should have won the game, let's be honest. They missed a field goal
right
at the end.
Yeah. So, not the Justin Fields from a few years ago, is what I'm saying. Was that against Georgia when he had the playoff game a few years ago in 2019, in his final year there?
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm talking about Stroud.
No, I'm talking about Justin Fields. He won a playoff game, I believe, in 2019, in his final year there, where he was dynamite. He was superb. And I'm just trying to wonder. I'm sure all Columbus fans screaming at their radios in Columbus right now already know the answer to the question. But I always find myself in the Chris Brockman always takes 15 more seconds to Google something than I could.
Then why don't you do it? Like I'm not here for my Google slander, bro.
Yeah. Google
that
shaming.
That is so harsh.
I mean,
is it really?
Yeah.
He's got 10,000 open
tabs. I'm doing a lot over here.
What are you doing?
Come on. Man, that's so aggressive.
Really?
They did not play Georgia.
Who did they play?
Clemson?
Clemson. Thank you.
Festival 2019.
And what were his numbers in that Clemson game?
320, one tutty, two picks.
Okay.
29-23 lost in the semifinal.
Okay. Thank you for that. I greatly appreciate that.
They played Lawrence in that game.
Well, anyway, I remember him being really good. That's my point. But right now, Caleb Williams just restarts the clock, and now suddenly you're feeling great. Okay, the year later, he threw 6 touchdowns against Clemson. There's your answer. That was the one. Then he gets drafted. I was in the Sugar Bowl. Thank you, Mike Hoskins, who's not doing too much there except running the entire show up back there. Thank you for Googling.
Bart, we're on fire today. I'm going to get the fart team ready.
We're going to get the fart team ready.
Good Lord.
Keep
you guys.
Standby.
Unbelievable. Stop it. Oh, we don't need that. We just don't need it.
It kind of was necessary.
No,
come on. Let's be honest.
Not at all.
Terzo appreciated.
New York Giants. Let's talk New York Giants. Joe Shane speaking today, everybody. General manager of the Giants. Last we saw him, he was in front of a microphone on the show. He's been in another microphone since then. We showed a soundbite of him and Brian Daboll saying, absolutely, Daniel Jones can be a winning quarterback in this league, and he's our quarterback. And now on the verge of them drafting sixth overall because last season was such a lost season, and they definitely, when Jones was healthy, saw more results out of their offense with Tommy Cutlets last year than Daniel Jones. More wins and a lot more life with the third stringer than with their franchise quarterback that they paid franchise money minus, not plus, franchise minus money, I guess. $40 million bucks, though, is no, there's no minus to it other than just on your salary cap. And so a lot of Giants fans are like, no, he's not the guy, and we don't believe he's the guy. And the question is, what does the general manager think now that they're 1 week away from drafting sixth overall unless they move up? This is what he had to say on the question, I guess, of buyer's remorse still being asked about that in relation to Jones.
Where are you right now, maybe small and big picture, on Daniel Jones?
Yeah, like I said before, the expectation is for him to be our starter. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I hope he doesn't have any setbacks. He's working his tail off. You know, one of the things, you know, you go back and you watch the 2022 season or, you know, all of his throws in 2022, like he was a 25-year-old player that played at a high level, and we won 10 games and we won a playoff game. And I'm still confident in Daniel, the way he's wired, what he showed us in 2022. Again, did we have the best start to the season last year? Absolutely not. And a lot, you know, anything that could have went wrong, it seems like it did early on between injuries and some other things. So I've still got a lot of confidence in Daniel.
So my bad for mischaracterizing the question from what sounds like my longtime colleague from NFL Network and NFL Media. It sounded like Kim Jones to me, Penn State's finest. Mm. Won't bring up the fact that I did take her and LeVar Arrington down in Celebrity Sports Jeopardy years ago.
That's true.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Michigan beat everybody from Penn State on that day. Long story short,
wow.
I miss working with Kim. Great question. Where are you now, long and short term? Led to one of our favorite.
Oh, my goodness.
Cliches. I don't have a crystal ball.
Didn't know that was coming. Yeah.
We do have one. I unfortunately ordered one way too big and heavy for the joke. It's over there. I can't even lug it over here.
It's really nice.
Honestly, I'm running Sunday. I don't want to throw out my back bringing it over here. It's terrible. It's not like a bowling ball. It's way heavier.
It looks like the one.
It was a dumb choice by me. I thought I needed something big for that. Long story short, he doesn't have the crystal ball.
I support that.
And he's not wrong. Hey, 25-year-old quarterback in 2022. Won a playoff game with him, so we gave him $40 million bucks because we couldn't or wouldn't sign Saquon to a long-term deal, so we gave it to Daniel, franchise-tagged Saquon. Now, if we could crystal ball it, we kind of reverse those choices, I imagine.
God,
but just file that one away, and I'm not saying it's lying season with Joe. I'm not saying that. Just file that one away to see if 1 week from tonight, they've got themselves a shiny new quarterback object, sixth overall, or even higher up because they traded up to go get this person, to say the draft board just fell in a way that they could not turn down the opportunity.
I feel like that's coming.
Okay. What's more likely, that?
That is super likely.
Or, hold on a minute. This is what Shane had to say about drafting a quarterback in this year's draft and the necessity of it.
Do you still feel like you need or want to add a quarterback in the draft?
I don't think so. I think with, you know, Drew's experience, you know, he started games and played, and, you know, Daniel's experience and then what Tommy did last year, another year in the system, Tommy's come a long way. So, no, I think we could go in with the season with the three that we have, and, you know, I'd be comfortable with that.
Okay.
Okay.
So can I interpret that as well? Again, I am fluent in week before draft talk. 21st draft rodeo for me coming up. Go ahead and hit it.
What were they really thinking?
Here's what I'm really thinking. I'm sorry, Joe Shane, to do this to you, but here's what I'm really thinking is, let's just say the Patriots want to basically take everyone's firstborn around here for the right to trade up to three. We love Drake May. And let's just say we get beaten to the punch at number four for J.J. McCarthy, or we just don't really believe in J.J. McCarthy enough to have given up what requires us from going to six to four and we do have, once the draft is over, due to circumstances beyond our control, we do have to now come back in front of the Giants fan base that just got outraged with me pointing out how Drew Locke is here and Tommy DeVito is still on our team and Daniel Jones, who Giants fans don't want to see play for us ever again, that we are now in the same boat. I don't want to have you come to me and say, I said something otherwise before the draft. And seen. That said, I do believe they're walking out of this draft 1 week from tonight with a shiny new object at quarterback. I believe it.
In the top 10.
They're going to either move up to go get one or stay there at six. And the way the draft board drops, McCarthy will be there at six. Now, to Giants fans out there pushing back at all of what I've said into this microphone, oh, you could stay at six and get McCarthy. We don't need to give up more draft prospects for him. Let me tell you something. When it all comes down to it, if this kid shows up and does what I think he can do at the next level, you won't remember what draft choices you gave up to Arizona to go from six to four. You won't recall it for a split second. You won't be sitting there, you know, years from now watching this kid ball out because he's got cojones, which you need in the New York, New Jersey area to play for the New York Football Giants in the NFC East. You won't be sitting there lamenting, oh, you know, we could have had one more weapon for him had we not given up that third or second or what have you. So that's my prediction. Couldn't be wrong. We go on the air next Friday. Joel Klatt sitting there. Because he's our guest, and he's the one that said that the Daniel Jones draft choice in Nashville was going to set the Giants franchise back for a decade. We'll see what he's got to say about what the Giants do 1 week from tomorrow.
One playoff win. Hey, he's not far off.
Dude, and I understand Joe Shane saying that because guess what, man? He looked, Daniel Jones, like Kaepernick against the Green Bay Packers in that game in Minnesota. He was dynamite. He was awesome. And then the Eagles eviscerated him. And then next season, he looked terrible, shut out by the Cowboys opening night, had to pull, you know, something out of his orifice in Arizona to actually win one of his only games, I think, in the first month and a half, and then he gets hurt. 49ers crushed him. I mean, they crushed his soul. So that's what you need to do. You actually need to be better with Daniel Jones. And I think Giants fans are done with that, personally. Let's take a break because the guy who famously once said, it doesn't matter what you give up for somebody if they win, right? Wasn't that Brandon Bean? Wasn't that him? I think wasn't that the Bills GM at the Combine who said basically, you know, doesn't matter if you trade up for somebody, you know, and you win, doesn't matter what you gave up for him. Well, I think he said that in relation to Josh Allen back in the day.
Yeah, because the Bills traded up from 12.
Right.
To 7.
Says that, you know, if you get it right, no one remembers. And if you get it wrong, you're fired. Yeah. Well, Josh Allen spoke for the first time since the Diggs trade, and so did the general manager who acquired him in Houston. That next, and the rest of your phone calls as we finish up this fun Thursday show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right, this update from Axios. Apparently, the first individual to work on behalf of the floor action response team is the senior board director, known as the SBD, and that person is the SBD, apparently.
Well done.
Because they have a great understanding of who dealt it on the floor. A keen sense of smell.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
It's because I'm just expressing the details
senior
of the story.
Board director.
The senior board director of SBD. The floor action response team.
This can't
and
be.
That person is the senior board director because they understand who might deal something that requires a sense of smell to detect.
You're stupid.
This is our political coverage.
Where's the shark team when we need him?
The senior board director of the floor action response team.
I think I'm getting a call from the senior board director right now.
Who's that?
Potential spam.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Right now?
Potential spam.
You don't answer a phone call that says potential spam, do you?
I don't answer any phone calls unless it's you or Sarah.
And Barry Brockman.
And my mom. And my mom.
That's it. I answer those.
Those are the only three people that call
you
me.
You answer potential spam?
That's how you answer me, Chris. I answer them and I play with them.
50-50 on TJ. Depends
if I'm
on my,
doing nothing.
What podcast I'm listening to.
Do you know what's also potential spam? RJ's cookies.
Poll results.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second.
Poll results.
Get this back on Rich Eisen Show. Game time tickets. Make sure you get the app. Put it on a mobile device near you because you could start buying tickets to any event in your area. Football, basketball, concerts, comedy, theater. In terms of baseball, guess what? Game time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. And you can see the view from your seat and make sure that you have an unobstructed view. Where's home plate? Where's first base? Where's maybe a certain part of the park that you want to be sitting in? And then, of course, there's that awesome feature that gives you the full pricing before you check out and see the total up front. That's the all-in pricing feature. Download the Game Time app. Create an account, and you get to use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create the account, redeem the code RICH, and you get $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Jimmy in San Antonio is back on the Rich Eisen Show. How you been,
hey, Jimmy?
Jimmy.
What up, Jimmy?
Hey, how you doing, guys? ¿Qué pasó?
What's going on, Jimmy?
I'm going to need your help in a second, Rich, but at first I got to stick up for Del Tufo.
Uh-oh.
I know. I said the same thing when I wrote it down. I was like, damn it, I have to stick up for Del
Jimmy,
Tufo.
This is why I love you, brother. Go ahead.
I love it when talent questions how and why everything is ready for them after hair and makeup, don't you?
Exactly.
I got to stick up for them. We put in a lot of time before, and then you guys come in and look beautiful and sound great.
No, Jimmy. Jimmy. I'm assuming there's a zoo in San Antonio, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what does the sign say there at the zoo?
Don't feed the animals.
Oh, don't feed the monkey.
I'm not specifying the animal.
This chimp right here is hungry.
Just saying that. What else is on your mind, Jimmy?
Okay, tomorrow I am helping raise money for the Puppy Food Bank.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
And I'm working with the legend of Seinfeld, John O'Hurley.
Ah.
And do y'all have, I looked through the YouTube archives while I could. I couldn't go deep enough. Have y'all had him on the show? Is there an inside
Oh, yeah, he's been on a long time ago, John O'Hurley. Absolutely.
Any questions I would like to ask for you guys that hasn't been or a funny thing? I mean, he's a legend. I can't wait to work with him.
A great voice, man. Just Jay Peterman, as funny as it gets. Yep. Well, that's great, Jimmy. I hope you raise a ton of money.
Well, we love dogs. I know you love dogs.
Oh, very much so, yeah. Too. Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Greatly appreciate it. And speaking of which, speaking of which, Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, the two one dog lovers, huh?
Yeah, are you getting a new dog?
Susie went and I don't know.
It's already. At
I don't
home,
know.
Chris.
I don't know. All I know is it's, you know,
you don't
Susie's looking at a lot of dogs online right now, and we already have two, and that means a third is not too far away.
Here it comes.
No.
Rich, you're going to say in this?
No. But of course I do. But Susie, just not the final say, right?
No.
Is that your final answer? Susie and Amy will be conducting What the Football with their guest Daniel Jeremiah, who will give you the latest in everything about the NFL draft. Great listen coming your way for your ear gate when What the Football posts later on today. Josh Allen, we have not heard from him since Stephon Diggs was sent away. Stephon Diggs sent away for a cap hit, $3 million larger than the full cost of keeping him, which led us to believe that he had to be traded. Bills have said no, and as you know, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, every single time that anybody's asked them about their relationship in the last year and a half, have absolutely said one thing, which is there's no problem between them. And then many people in the football world think that they are just clutching a broom and picking up the rug and sweeping. This is Josh Allen today about the Stephon Diggs trade.
Definitely hard to part ways with a guy that's been very instrumental in our success here over the last 4 years. And again, I can't thank him enough for when he came in and how hard he worked and what he taught me along the years. And obviously, I wish we can keep everybody.
We've made a lot of changes this offseason, lost a lot of veteran leadership, Steph being one of them. I guess that's the nature of the business. And going into year seven now, it's just kind of is what it is. You know, I don't get paid to make changes on the team. I get paid to be the best quarterback that I can be and try to lead the guys on this team.
Have you spoke with Steph since the move was made?
Yeah, I shared a text with him and got one back and just thanking him for everything that he did for me and always have a spot in my heart for him. And I always love that guy like a brother and, you know, wish him nothing but the best.
All right. High class the whole way. Listen. Bills-Texans will happen this year. They both won their divisions, as you know, so that's going to happen. And here's all I will say about this is Mahomes did it without Tyreek Hill, and now Allen will have to do it without Diggs and Gabe Davis. And there's a ton of kids in the draft. Let's see who the Bills draft, and then we will see. So I will counsel everybody. As the Chiefs have won back-to-back Super Bowls since Tyreek Hill became a Dolphin, I will counsel everyone that the demise of the Bills is greatly exaggerated. This year might not be the case because they definitely had a ton of cap hits on a bunch of guys who were getting longer in the teeth on defense. But it's going to definitely be Josh Allen's time to see if he can just put the team on his back every now and then and start finding guys that are not top two rounds on your fantasy team.
Yeah, got to make some stars.
That's it.
Big Dalton Kincaid year coming up.
You think so? That kid Shakir started making some plays, did he not?
Yep. Yeah,
he did.
He was the one that was wide open for the score had Chris Jones not shoved Deion Dawkins into Josh Allen's lap in the divisional round. What about Diggs' arrival in Houston? Nick Caserio on what subject matter is this? He was asked if Diggs. Oh yes, this was asked. It's like so. Yes, it's great that you're bringing in Diggs for C.J. Stroud. Is it an issue to bring him in when he's got a reputation of being a diva? Is he going to mess up? That's the implication. C.J. Stroud's mojo. Here is Caserio.
don't even know what that definition means. So if someone can define that for me, again, like, we're not worried about, you know, again, we're worried about what a player does when he walks in our building. So we do our research. We talk to our players. We talk to other players all the time. And ultimately, D'Amico and I sit and talk. And if we feel comfortable with the decision, then we go ahead and make the decision. Candidly, I think it's unfair to label anybody until they actually have an opportunity to walk in the building. Again, our environment's different than another environment. So we really don't know what's going on in 31 other buildings. Excited to have Steph here, and hopefully he can add to our team.
Clean slate, baby. Clean slate.
Okay.
I love it. God, I love this league. I love it so much. I love it so very much.
Going to be here very fast. Summer's going to go by fast.
So I love it. It's like someone wants to tell me what a diva is. Here's a diva. A diva is a guy who's going to show up, and if Nico Collins gets the ball instead of him, he's gonna make things tough. He's going to make things a little miserable. If Tank Dell gets the ball and he doesn't, and he thinks he should, that's going to be the issue. And as you know, Stephon Diggs had some pretty damn big moments in Buffalo. Even if he does have that reputation or not, he's now theirs. And I think it's going to be a huge addition. I can't imagine then all of a sudden, like, he shows up there and suddenly C.J. Stroud has a step back because you added Stephon Diggs. Are you not going to go ahead and make the deal like that you made? You got a second from Minnesota. You're drafting, you know, because you trade out of the first round. You get a second from Minnesota, and basically they're saying, we're using that on Stephon Diggs. Forget about bringing in some new rookie wide receiver second overall and dealing with a rookie wide receiver and what that means for Stroud. We're getting a bona fide him second overall, and then we're going to get another draft choice as well from the Bills for that, because we're taking on the full salary, and we're going to lop off the last 3 years, and we're going to incentivize him to go ball out this year. Now, the diva part comes in is that he knows he's got to ball out this year to get his money, and if he's got to share the ball with others that he doesn't want to, he's got to.
Well, if he ends up being the third guy, is he going to be able to handle that?
I would counsel him to be able to do that, because he might look down at his finger and see a ring. Hey, man, this team made the final eight last year.
Yeah. I mean, expectations, they're going to be the team we expect the most out of.
Oh, the bandwagon will be the largest in the AFC.
Yeah, bandwagon.
Oh, God,
yeah,
everyone's going to start to, trust me, as May turns to June, turns to July, and we're waiting for this thing to finally friggin' kick off in full of August, and everybody's got their season previews out there, we are going to be hell-bent on finding somebody that's going to threaten Kansas City, because that's the conversation. Are we going to see the first three-peat ever from the Time Man of the Year and the new game show host of Amazon?
Yeah.
You know, and are we going to, you know, one of the Time Influencers of the Year? By way of shorthanding seeing Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, can we see the first three-peat? And there's going to be a whole bunch of folks in the media business that are bored with it and want to find, like, we need to put our marker down on someone who's going to prevent it.
Why
and the
Houston
team that's going to
knock off Kansas City?
You're going to see a ton of that. And you know what? That person will not be me. I am not pissing off Chiefs Kingdom ever again. Ever.
Yeah.
I'm 2 years removed from that, pal.
Who's the NFC team? Because last year it was obviously.
Oh, we have time. We have time. Why rush it?
I just want to get ahead of it.
Don't rush it.
Because it's Houston for sure.
Whatever it is we're going to come up with that idea ourselves, or buy it somewhere and put it in a wrapper that makes it seem like we actually came up with it ourselves.
Just
like RJ's cookies.
Right on it. 10 seconds left.
This guy.
That's tremendous. Well done.
Thank you, sir.
Well done.
That's the way to just thread the needle to finish this thing up and stitch it together.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.